Oh, healing is he. Healing is he. Oh, healing is he. And I receive it. Oh, healing is he. Oh, healing is he. Healing is he. And I believe it. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, freedom is here. Freedom is he. Oh, freedom is he. And I receive it. Oh, I know freedom is he. Our freedom is he. Oh, freedom is here, and I believe it. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my trust in you. Oh, I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Sickness can't stay any longer. Oh, your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Lord, your perfect love is casting out fear. For you are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to trust in you. Oh. Oh, healing is here, and I receive it. Oh, yes, my healing is here. Healing is here. Healing. And I believe it. One more time together. Oh, healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. And I Amen. You happy to be in church tonight? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together. Amen. Brother Zion, if you want to just keep playing that a moment, why don't you reach over and shake somebody's hand, welcome into the service, say, God bless you. Good to be in church tonight. For the song leader and the musicians tonight, Brother Zion, we want to start using him on Sunday nights, Lord willing, and so it's his first night playing for a full service. And the song leader texted us a little bit before service, said he was sick and couldn't be here. Then the drummer texted us and said he was sick and couldn't be here. And then the minister's wife tonight caught me in the basement and said he forgot his notes and had to go all the way back home to Louisville and get them and be back in a little bit. So song service may be a little longer and more impromptu than normal, but you just worship with us. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Oh, yes, the name of the Lord. A strong tower. All the righteous run into. Oh, and they are saved. Oh, yes, the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower that the righteous run into. Oh, when they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. have tonight. All the righteous run into you. Oh, and they are saved. Yes, the name of the Lord is. It's a strong tower. All the righteous run into you. Oh, and they are saved. We're singing. Me to announce that there's a sign-up sheet in the basement for the adult group special for our Labor Day meetings. So if you want to sign up for that, it's for the adults 18 and up for the group special. I think the first practice they're planning on having it this Tuesday, the 23rd at 7 p.m. at the church. So if you want to sign up for that, or if you got somebody that you think would be interested in that you want to let know, if they're not here tonight, pass the word around. And then we've got several prayer requests. I want to remember Brother Furman not feeling well. Brother and Sister Layton traveling home from Ohio tonight, so I want to remember them in prayer. And then Brother Levi and Sister Brianna Dalton, I want to remember them tonight. There's a wildfire very near their home in Flagstaff, Arizona, and they've been forced to evacuate. So I want to remember them in prayer just for safety and also for their home, that it'll be protected. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Trevor.
Amen. I know we've seen... Lord, protect Brother Russell Wallace's house very, very miraculously, so we know he can do it again. Another real quick word, maybe just put in a little plug for the parent meeting that we're going to have this Friday night, if you were wondering anything about it. Saturday night, thank you, sorry. I got a lot going on this week. But so the parent meeting is, it's actually part of the... Since I'm the new youth leader, it's actually part of that. It's part of the youth leadership. And you thought, and you say, well, that's a parent meeting. It's like, yes, because we want help leading youth and you, your parents. And so what our aim is that we do want to focus on devotions. We do want to focus on what we would like to see happening in the home. And maybe there are people who weren't raised in a good Christian home, maybe, and now you're trying to be a parent, and you're like, yeah, I don't know how to do this, because nobody ever taught me, because I never saw it. Maybe you feel ill-prepared, or unworthy, or whatever excuse, or lie the devil's trying to tell you, but those are the kind of things that we want to talk about. We want to talk about helping you lead your home in a godly way. So whether you have young people who are at the gym, or maybe your kids aren't that old, well, that doesn't mean you shouldn't come. you should still come, because particularly for you, train up a child in the way that they should go, and in the end, he will not depart from it. So that's just a little plug for the Saturday night parent meeting, and hope you can join us for that. So let's just bow our heads and then for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you heard all of these requests that were read over this pulpit, Lord. Brother Layton is traveling home. We ask that you be with him and our song leader, our drummer, our friends, our brethren, not feeling well. Lord, I know my daughter hasn't been feeling great either. Lord, we have those instances where we have these little 24-hour things or these week-long things. And Lord, then sometimes we have these things that seem to be lifelong or years long. But Father, we know you're the great way maker.
Amen.
Lord, we can do nothing. We have no magic pill, potion, or button that we can press, Father. But yet we can appeal to you, our Father, our great, kind, and wonderful Heavenly Father. Lord, we know it is an easy thing for you, Father. So, Lord, we're just going to rest in that trust and faith that we have in you. Lord, that you would be with each one, Lord, that needs safety, Lord God. That you would bring healing and instruction and wisdom to each one who would need it, Father. Lord, we just give it to you, Lord, in faith, knowing, Lord, that we put it in the hands of the greatest one we could ever put in the hands of, Lord. Father, now we're asking for your blessings upon this service, Father, that you would come and speak to our hearts, Lord God, and that you would show us more of the way of life of which we ought to go and how we ought to see you, and to, Lord, more of instruction on our relationship with you, Lord, that we might, Lord, we might just be better at loving you, Father. Father, we don't want to forget our brother and sister there, I believe in Arizona, with this wildfire coming, Lord. Lord, just put a protection around it, Lord. Whatever shape, whatever size, we don't care, Father. But, Lord, be with them. Protect them, Lord God. Protect their property. Any other believers in the area, Lord, may they be shielded from this natural disaster, Lord, that is upon them, Lord. Lord, we know that you are great and that you can, and so we ask that you would, Lord. Now bless our service, Lord God. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. We've got a special this evening from Brother Barry Weber and Sister Anna Pierce, if they'd come at this time.
Bye.
just a new day before you. Place your heartache in Jesus' hand. He can mend broken dreams. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers. Desert places I know, but I'm nearing the home, so the redeemed are rejoicing, heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.
Is that your testimony? You've come too far to go back? Amen. God bless you. Number 22 in your hymn book. Let's sing it together. Well, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary, oh, to save a wretch like. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, and then I repented of my sins, and I won the victory. Oh, there's still victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love, oh, it's through him. Oh, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, that I power revealing how he had made the lame to walk again, and then he caused the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit. Oh, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me my victory.
victory. Oh, there's still victory. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, he's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. Oh, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, then I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power, revealing how he had made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit.
Onward, upward.
Amen.
That's the way the bride's headed in this hour. And well, you can go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. It's really good to be in the house of the Lord, and really appreciate Brother Nathan giving me the opportunity to share a little bit what's on the heart. And I'm just amazed at what the Lord has done just a few short years with Brother Nathan. And he'll continue to have success as long as he gives God the glory.
Amen.
Amen. We can't take any credit. We didn't put in 1% of this. It's totally the grace of God.
Amen.
That we're standing here tonight. Bear with me for a few minutes because, well, I have a little confession to make. I was speeding a little bit on the freeway, and I'm sorry, Lord, and appreciate you showing me grace in that respect. I forgot my Bible and my notes, and so I had to run back home. Back in the old days, they would say, well, you're not very spiritual if you can't preach without notes. Well, I don't know. It's something living in me. If it's not spiritual, I don't know what it is. But anyway, I'm just really glad to be here and have an opportunity to share with you. And Brother Nathan's always been good to have other ministers in his pulpit. That's a good sign that he's not bothered by Nicolaitanism. Because a guy that wants to control things, he's not crazy about having somebody else come in and feed his sheep or address his congregation. But so I appreciate it. I believe we need we need different viewpoints and so forth, because there's a lot of ways to look at this message, and many of them are somewhat different, but they're still in harmony. Brother Nathan and I, we have some different viewpoints on certain things, but I'm not opposed to anything that he does, that he's doing or preaching. Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor. They're both different melodies, but they blend together. So I trust that what I share with you tonight will be in harmony with what Brother Nathan's been bringing to us. I really appreciate what he does for everyone. And the Lord has given him wisdom beyond his years. And I've told him that before. And the comments that he made today to the families about trying the husbands and wives trying to change each other, and the young people worried about what people are going to think. I know what peer pressure is like. And the young people who are in school, you're going to be bothered by a whole lot of peer pressure. But the Bible says if a man's ways please the Lord, that he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. So you try to please the Lord. And you guys, you don't need to try to act like you're cool in school. You don't need to be cool. Just be yourself. Just be what the Lord's made you. And if you can't get a girl to like you being a Christian, well, then just stay single. It's easy for me to say, right? The Lord has somebody for everybody. And I really appreciate my wife. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with God's people. Yeah. It's really fun. I mean, it really is. I really just get a real blessing out of sharing with people. It ranks right up there with that day 40-some years ago when I heard Alice say, "I do." So I'm glad for my family that's here. That gives me courage to see sons and daughters-in-law, and I like daughters in grace better, but to see them and the little grandchildren. Anytime the devil gets to riding me too hard, I just say, well, what about Jeremy and Greg? He shuts up. He'll talk back, though. Sometimes he'll say, "What about Roxanne?" And I'll say, "She belongs to God, too."
Amen.
Yes, sir. But I'm just glad to be a Christian, to be part of God's family. And I'm glad that we found a place of refuge here. And the little group that we worked with for some time found a place to continue growing. And Nathan's done an excellent job of nurturing the young people and the middle-aged and the old alike. So I'm just glad all around, and I can't think of anything to complain about. So I'm just happy to have an opportunity to feed the sheep. May you could stand with me and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and I want to begin reading at verse 22 through 27. Beginning at verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid."
Amen.
So how about we all join together and just pray. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to look into your word, and we're so thankful. Lord, we don't know where to begin. I pray that our hearts would continue to be filled with gratitude for all that you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me, that you'd anoint these lips of clay. I only have two desires while I stand here. Number one, I want to please you. Number two, I want to say something that will encourage the people. And I know and I believe you want that too, so we'll go right on hand in hand, and we'll give you the praise and honor in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Taking me a minute to kind of get composed. I didn't know whether Brother Nathan mentioned it to you or not, but I forgot my notes in my Bible, so I had to run back to Louisville. And that's all right, though. We're here now, and I believe the Lord's here. I don't just believe he's here. I know he is.
Amen.
Alice and I, when I come home, sometime in the evening, I'll come through the back door and into the kitchen, and I'll hear her in the living room, and she kind of jokingly, she'll say, "Who is it?" And I'll say, "It's just me. Don't be afraid." And so I thought I would just title this little message, "Don't be afraid, it's just me." Just like the Lord said to the disciples, "Just me." That's my title, but my subject is fear. And I don't get scared. Don't be afraid. I'm not gonna say anything to worry you or anything, because the Bride of Christ has an answer for anything that the devil can present us with.
Amen.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, I don't care how big the problem might be, it's nothing for him. It's peanuts for him. Yes. Now, I want to get serious for a couple of minutes here. Brother Branham said that fear is one of the worst things that Satan can place upon a person. And in 1953, in the message, "Israel and the Church," Brother Branham said, "The greatest thing I find against the church tonight is fear."
Right.
Now, that was in 1953. It was just as real now as it was then. But I do believe that this glorious message that you and I are feeding on has brought us to the place where we know a little better how to handle fear than maybe when Brother Branham's ministry first started. We've come a long way. And it's been him doing it, that's for sure. Nobody can take any credit for it. Amen. All we do as ministers is just submit ourselves to him and see if he has a little something that he wants to say. But there's no big I's and little U's. That's what I like about this message, because I was involved in denominational churches and so on, Assembly of God, Trinitarian, Pentecostal. I've kind of seen all of it. And I can go back in my memory. I mentioned this before. But I can go back in my memory 70 years. So that doesn't make me an expert on anything. It just means that I've seen a whole lot. And I could tell you a whole lot. But what I want to tell you is what he wants me to say, not what I'm interested in. But now we know the Bible says that fear brings torment. It doesn't say that it just bugs you a little bit or it bothers you occasionally. It brings torment. It actually can drive you up a wall if you're scared or worried about something. And we also have learned that love, perfect love, casts out fear. It doesn't just slow it down. It doesn't just turn the burner lower. It casts it out. Perfect love casts out fear. And we've also learned, well, you know, like the bull, that Brother Branham came across that killer bull. And he would have been a dead man if he had been a denominational at that point. I can guarantee you. But the Spirit of God moved on him, and he loved that big ugly bull. And he said the bull stopped, and he just looked around, and he was bewildered. I think maybe that's the word that he used. The bull was bewildered. He was probably thinking, what's going on here? I was going to stomp this guy. Now I don't feel like doing anything. That just shows you what the Spirit of God can do in any kind of a situation, regardless of how serious it may appear. And the same way with the hornets in the backyard, they could have put a hurting on him for sure. Hornets are some mean little insects. They don't play. They'll go for your head if they can or anywhere. But Brother Branham said, when love projected, those hornets made a beeline. Well, no pun intended, but and they went right back into their nest.
Right.
You believe he was a liar? I believe it happened exactly like he said. They lined up and went right back. Hornets obey God better than people do sometimes. And a raging bull is quicker to obey God than a raging man or a woman. And I appreciate Brother Branham, what he brought to us. It's just been amazing, and it keeps opening up. The deeper you dig, Brother Nathan, the deeper it gets, right? It's a bottomless pit in the good sense. There's no, yes, sir. I mean, there's just no searching it out. It's an artesian well that never runs dry. And the manna was fresh every day. Those Israelites ate the same manna every day, but it was something new every day. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. We're not eating leftovers here. We're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. It's not leftovers. This isn't something that we learned in denominations. I went to an Assembly of God Bible school almost a year before they asked me to leave, and I felt it kind of hurt my feelings at the time. Now I say, well, praise God for that. I could have been, well, I won't go into that. But anyway, here's, I've got written down here that fear is a liar.
Yes. Right.
And I wasn't here the night that little sister Naomi sang that. Is she here? There she is. I wasn't here that night, but I listened to the stream and heard her sing that fear is a liar. And, you made an old man cry one Tuesday evening, I think it was. I appreciate that. Fear is a liar. And I like that song that the Lord gave Brother Furman, that we're made out of stuff that don't bluff. Because the devil is a bluff. He's a liar and he's a bluff. And nothing can withstand that except the Spirit of God in us. Not just religious, not just being religious. I'm talking about the literal life of Jesus Christ in us. Not about being good people. I tried that in the Boy Scouts when I was about 11 or so. Didn't work. To obey the scout laws, yada yada. I mean, it didn't do anything for me at all. But when I met the master, and I become a real Eagle Scout, like the eagle that Brother Nathan was talking about this morning. So we heard that eagle scream, and now, how much trouble does an eagle have crossing a river? He won't even know it's there if you don't look down. Doesn't have any troubles climbing a mountain. He just flies right on. So we don't have to be earthbound anymore. That's what churchianity does for you, and religiosity. It holds us down. It holds us to the ground. And we're made to soar in the heavenlies. Amen. And I really, really appreciate what God's doing for us. Now, here's a good acronym for fear. Hi, Heidi. Glad to have little Heidi, she's our number one granddaughter. I know I'm embarrassing her right now, and I'll pay for it later, but whatever. Here's an acronym for fear. It's false evidence against reality. Or false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. Anytime that a Christian is afraid, it's usually false. Whatever it is you're afraid of. Nine things out of ten that I have worried about and been afraid of in my life turned out to be false. So the greatest battle ever fought is going on right now, and it's up here. Who would have ever thought that, except the prophet would have told us? You know, we'd have thought, well, it's this, that, or the other, but it's right up here between our two ears. That's where our biggest problem is. So we've learned that Satan is a bluff. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans 8:15 says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's kind of like daddy. I like that. I should, shouldn't I? So that's what this glorious message has done for us. It's given us assurance that we don't have to roll over and play dead every time the devil hollers at us, every time he says boo. Some of these brothers say boo back at him sometime. I'll tell you another thing the devil's going to look for. When those seven sons of Sceva went out there to try to cast out devils like Paul had done and like Jesus had done, you think the devil doesn't know what's going on? He said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? They didn't have a life to back it up. That's why the devil wasn't scared of them. They could have screamed and hollered and yelled. The devil don't get scared of us raising our voice at him. My goodness, you can whisper the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And all hell has to move over.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Just the song says, just breathe that holy name in prayer. Amen. Nobody's going to scare me shouting and jumping or whatever. I was cut my teeth on an old wooden bench in Jeffersonville, Kentucky when I was a little boy. And that's when some of the old Pentecostal grandmothers, they would dance and jump and shout until the hairpins would go flying everywhere. And I was sitting there thinking, whoa, what is this? But later on, I realized that it's not so much about all that as it is about the life. God looks at your life. If you're going to argue, well, you don't have to argue with him, but if you're going to confront the devil, you have to have a life behind it.
Amen.
Not education, not religion, because that's right up his alley. See? Now, and say this with me. I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. Say it again. I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. Say, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. Amen. When you get worried or when you get a little afraid, speak to the devil. Talk back to him. You don't have to let him push you around. I don't go picking fights with him. If he's quiet, you don't go kick a sleeping dog. If he's not bothering me, I just let him go his way. So I'm not going to pick any fights with him. But number one, I have to remember, if you do get in a fight with him, it's not your fight. Because the seven sons of Sceva, that one man, the devil's in that one man, ripped their nice new suits all to pieces, and they ran off scared and embarrassed and looking pretty ignorant. The bride of Christ is the only place that has genuine, real truth. And the bride of Christ is the only one who can come up to where the prophet brought us. And we're continually, it's a continual progression. Until we have a body change and move over into that other dimension, we're going to continue to make progress. I read a book about 30 years ago. It was called No Parking Place. And it pointed out that in this Christian walk, there's no place to park. If you park, you're in trouble. If you're driving through the Smokies now, I pulled over and looked at some of those views, but on this path, there's no need to stop and look at the scenic view, because we're looking at that lovely one who's coming in plain view. And if we keep our eyes on him, we don't need to park. We're going to keep moving on. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. There's no standing still. I found that out. Now, Joshua 1:9, this is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. This is what it says. We are commanded to be strong and of good courage. That's a commandment, Jimmy. It doesn't say if you feel like it, be strong. It says you're commanded to. And be not afraid. It's a commandment. Nor dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. So we've learned that fear is a scarecrow.
Right.
Does everybody know what a scarecrow is? I don't know. I'm from the country. Scarecrow is the farmer puts like a cross structure of wood, and then he dresses it up like a person and puts straw hat on and all that. And it makes the dumb birds think that there's, you know, a man standing in the cornfield, and it's really fake. It's really false evidence. So we, as members of the bride, we have learned that fear is a scarecrow.
All right.
That's exactly what it is. Now, it's false evidence appearing real. Now, some birds are wise enough, and they find out after a little bit of investigation that a scarecrow is nothing more than an advertisement. And they, the mom and daddy birds, they teach the little birds that a scarecrow is nothing more than an invitation to come and dine. So when I pulled up in the parking lot, and I saw I didn't have my Bible and my notes, I got a little annoyed for a few minutes. And then I remembered what I'd written down about an hour ago. So I began to sing, "Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine."
All right. Amen.
At 80 miles an hour.
No.
Well, It's the quickest journey I've made home yet, or to church. Now, don't you youngsters get any ideas? Is Wesley here? But anyway, I'm still human. So anyway, if you see a scarecrow, it's an invitation to come and dine. It means there's some good food down there.
Right.
Faith is a bird sitting on a scarecrow's shoulder. Isn't that great? Right in the middle of a cornfield. All right. That's a bird that's learned that he doesn't have to worry about two sticks with clothes on it. Amen. And we need to do the same thing. So we don't need we don't have to allow the devil to bluff us out of victories that belong to the bride. We have an inheritance.
Yes.
The devil has no right to try to take away what God's given us. Brother Branham went through, oh my, when you think back, listen to his life story, it just melts your heart what the man went through.
Amen.
I thought of him standing there with his dear wife in the morgue and his little baby girl laying there suffering and gasping for breath. And he saying, the devil's whispering over his shoulder, the foul breath of the enemy saying, well, where's your God now? But Brother Branham learned to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And anything that God does is well and good. He doesn't have to get permission from you or me. He has a right to do whatever he wants to with me and with you. And he doesn't have to ask our permission. Because all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, not some denomination's purpose. Or not some organization's purpose. Called according to his purpose. So we need to continually count our blessings. The world is going through hell on earth right now because of that little four-letter word, F-E-A-R. People are scared to death. You talk to somebody who doesn't know the Lord, who has no spiritual life in them at all, and it's astounding to see where they are. I've listened to some stories in the last year or so from people. I was sitting there thinking, if that was me, I don't know if I could. I don't think I could handle it. But I don't have to handle it because God rescued me some time ago. Hebrews 2:15 speaks of people, now listen to this, through fear of death, they spent their whole lifetime subject to bondage. Can you imagine that? Through fear of death. You know, I can say tonight that I'm not afraid of death. It would just be a door that opens up to the heavenlies.
Amen.
I am not afraid. Say that with me. I am not afraid of death. Praise Amen. The Lord. Now, nobody can say that but a Christian.
Amen.
But the world who has no hope because they've chosen to go that way, they don't have to, but they've chosen. They've chosen to do that. So, well, that's just what grace looks like. Through fear of death, spent their whole lifetime subject to bondage. Can you imagine that? I think I would just, personally, I would just rather die than to live a life like that. But I have life, and I'm glad for that. There's a song that talks about men's hearts failing for fear. The day of redemption is near. When you see all that, all of that worry and all that fear that's plaguing people, what's it mean? It means our day of our redemption is near. When it looks like the world's falling apart, the day of our redemption is near.
Amen.
Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
There's actually a serious physical problem called stress cardiomyopathy. And what happens is the heart actually gets stretched out of its proper size. It gets stretched, and as it does that, it weakens the heart muscle and is not able to pump blood properly anymore. People actually die from that. It can lead to death. And they know that the medical professionals know that it can be brought on by exaggerated fear or anger or resentments or magnified grief. I've seen people who grieve, when it's time for them to get over it, they're not over it yet. Because if you nurse something like that, it's going to get bigger. So it can, those things, those foul emotions like that can actually hurt you. They can hurt you physically. But we're talking about people usually who have rejected the great physician. Now, this is just my opinion here, but we take a little liberty now and then. But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, this is my version of his words of wisdom. You could look at it like this. Don't give yourself heart trouble by being afraid and angry and resentful all the time. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Isn't that heart trouble?
Yeah.
It sounds like it to me. I mean, we can't, you know, try to make everything bounce back and forth like that. But that's the worst trouble that you can have, is a resentment in your heart.
Right.
I've known people that have held on to resentments. I've been around long enough now to know people who have held on to resentments for decades and decades.
Right.
I saw an old Western movie back years ago when Westerns used to be Westerns. But this judge wakes up in the middle of the night. He hears a hammer click on a Colt 45. And he opens his eyes, and there's this criminal that he had sent to jail 10 years ago. And the man said to the judge, "I've been waiting for this minute for 10 years. I've dreamed about the time that I could point a gun in your face and get even." For 10 years, that man sat there and let that resentment fester. It kept him alive. You can hold on to a resentment or something. Negative emotions have just as much power over us as positive emotions
right,
do.
All right. Go ahead.
And a lot of times even more so.
Yeah.
But my, if you're harboring a resentment tonight, you're going to have a difficult time getting your prayers answered.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus said, if you got something, if you're going to come to the altar, if you got something against somebody, you better make that right. Because there ain't no need in talking to him until you get it right on this side. See? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I do?" I know thousands. I've known thousands of people in my life. "Oh, Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord." And then they don't like their neighbors. Well, the list could go on, but I don't want to take that too far. My peace is what Jesus said. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives.
Amen.
He says, "I am come that you might have life." Not just live. I see people who don't know God, and they're just existing. They're not really living. They're existing. But we are the only ones who knows what real life is. It has to do with the Lord Jesus himself. "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." Now, I want to say this. His peace is more than just the absence of war.
All right.
There you go. Some people think if the guns stop firing and the bombs stop falling, that's peace. No, it ain't. You got to get rid of what caused it to start with. Brother Branham said, the man that's born of God has not one thing to fear.
Amen.
I'm going to look up. Praise the Lord. We don't have one thing to be afraid of. Not one thing. Some of you may lay awake at night afraid of something, imagining what might happen to one of your sons or your daughters. God wants us to cast all your care upon Him. That's called a carefree life. They got a chewing gum called carefree. It's sugar-free, I guess. So you can chew it and not worry about getting cavities. Isn't that great? But we can do that for real. We can live a carefree life. Somebody says, you know what? Gasoline's going up to $8. I don't care. The world's falling apart. I don't care. If somebody ever says, a woman got elected president of the United States, well, I'll hold my response on that one. We'll have to deal with that one. I'm still growing. We'll have to deal with that when the time comes. No, I'm not one of them that are male chauvinist pigs, they call them. You know what? The Apostle Paul gets called a male chauvinist pig by these feminists out there. Listen, before Jesus came on the scene, women were nothing but property, piece of property. Jesus gave them meaning. What about little Mary and Martha? Martha cooked for him and Mary sat at his feet. My goodness. The women in this country, I don't know how I got on this, but I'm on it already. The women in this country, they don't want equal rights. What do they want? They want power. It's a power struggle. That's the devil's program. He wants to have power over nations. He wants to have power over cities. He wants to have power over churches and over preachers and over Christian men and women. He wants to have power. But we, as Christians, submit only to God.
Yes.
Now, I don't mean this arrogantly, but I'm going to say tonight, at this moment, I am not afraid of any beast or man or angel. Anything that would be contrary to this message, don't scare me a bit. Ain't scared. There's a clothing line that I've seen out there. It says, it's named No Fear. I almost got one to wear today. We don't have to be afraid. I will trust in the Lord. Say it with me.
I will not be afraid.
Praise the Lord. And you know who's listening to that. He's going to get his ears full of it. He don't like that, but that's just too bad. It sounds impossible to do what I'm saying, live a carefree life. It sounds impossible to do that, but we can do that. Cast all your care upon Him. Now, here's the good part of that. Why? Because He cares for you.
Amen.
Cast your care. You can go to a psychiatrist and talk to him, and he'll act like he cares. He don't care about you. He likes your money, but he don't care about you. But when you go talk to the Lord Jesus and you tell Him your problems, He cares about you, and He cares about me. Isn't that great?
Amen.
The one that holds the stars and the moon and the planets in place cares about me and you. So does it matter if you don't have two nickels to rub together? It don't matter.
Amen.
Brother Branham said some of the greatest men that I've ever known had ragged shirt sleeves. Now tell Benny Hinn that. with his $5,000 suit on. Well, I don't want to get on that right now. Okay. Let's get back to the men in the boat just for a minute. Jesus told them to go across to the other side. Now, just because you're in the will of God does not mean you're not going to have some trouble. And if you put a tree in a greenhouse and let it grow, it may turn out to be a beautiful tree. You could fertilize it every day and water it regularly, and it might have beautiful foliage. But if you took it out of the greenhouse and put it outside and let some winds of adversity come against it, it'd be gone in a week. All sunshine for us makes a desert. That's an Arab proverb. People that always want things to just go perfect for them, and they think the world owes them a living. They have this sense of entitlement and so forth. All sunshine makes a desert. Now, I don't say this very often, but I know we have trials and tests that are coming our way. It's just part of the program. Because if we can't stick with him when the going's rough, it'd be easier to fall. Well, ex-President Ronald Reagan, he said his dad was an alcoholic. And he said when times were tough, he hung right in there. I mean, he took care of everything. All the needs of the family were met when things were going rough. But when everything smoothed out, he hit the bottle again. It's easier to fall on that smooth pathway than it is on have little rocks under your feet. I thank God for the test and the trials. Now, I'll get tested on this tomorrow, and that's all right. I'm not afraid. Because I know, like the song says, we know the master of the wind. We know we're acquainted with the one who makes the rain and the storms and controls the tornadoes and hurricanes and all that. So just because those disciples were in the will of God, they were not insulated from trouble. They were about to sink. I think it even says they lost their oars. I don't know for sure. But the very thing that could help them scared them to death. The very thing. When Brother Branham came on the scene, I didn't know Brother Branham when I was a young man. I was in a Bible college in Minneapolis, Minnesota in 1965. I was 21. And that's when the foolish virgins came for oil. That's when everybody was supposedly getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they spoke in tongues. And I watched that. There was books that came out in the Christian bookstores called The Baptist and the Baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Catholics and speaking in tongues and so forth. It was all about speaking in tongues. Listen, wisdom is a gift of the Spirit too, the way I understand it. Wisdom and a word of knowledge that you can cheer somebody. A gift of healing that you can lay your hand. Jesus is always touching people. Has he touched you lately? You get close enough to him, he'll touch you. He ain't going to run you down. He's not going to chase after you. God never pushes himself on anybody. He'll just say, okay, there's two groups of people in the world. One group who says to God, Lord, have it your way. And the other group is the group of people to whom God says, okay, have it your way. Right. See the difference? Oh, my, we're a lot safer and be a lot happier if we just say, Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Why I am what? Waiting, yielded. And on the back of your fan there, while I'm waiting, fanning, and still. Our problem is the Lord can't get us still long enough. He's not going to work on your heart when you're up jumping around. You got to lay down and get still if you want to get some help. It's amazing how the devil keeps our society on the go. I've heard people brag because their car engine never cools. Like that's something to be proud about. Oh, I'm so busy. Well, they're running from God. That's what they're doing. Now, how do I know that, and how can I recognize that? Because I've been there, and I've done that. I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. Say that with me. I will trust in the Lord, not be afraid. Pardon me for kind of awkward to do that, but get an IV or something. Here were these disciples, big, tough, burly fishermen. And Jesus comes walking across the water. What did they do? They screamed and yelled like a bunch of little girls, for goodness sakes. You know what I was thinking? I just wonder if somewhere down the road Jesus didn't bug them a little bit about that. Remember that night I came when the storm was about to sink your boat? What'd y'all do? Sounded like a little girl sleepover in there. Oh, my. But that shows you how quickly we can be brought down to nothing. We think we got it going on. They thought they were sailors, I'm sure. But that just shows you. You start thinking you're somebody, you're in for a rude awakening.
Amen.
How do I know? When you get my age, you can say, been there, done that. And usually more than once. Amen. But on the other hand, I can say that about a lot of real good things too. There's been times where I didn't have a chance. But God came to me.
Amen.
When nobody else could help.
Amen.
Been there, done that. I'll be doing it again, too. There's a sad message title that I've mentioned before. It's called The Presence of God Unrecognized. That's the most, if any one of them is sad, that's it to me. Presence of God unrecognized. Sometimes it's people that's closest to Him who do not recognize when He's trying to do something for them.
Amen.
Because it's not like Mommy and Daddy taught you. My mom and dad were good people, but they were wrong about some things. They were really, really wrong about some things. So just because there might be something that you don't understand, don't throw it away. I think Brother Branham talked about putting something on the shelf, right?
Right.
And spitting out cherry seeds and whatnot. But quite often it'll be things that we'll need later. Put it on the shelf.
Right.
See, if I say a little something before I'm finished that, you know, you maybe not feel real, real comfortable with, don't stomp it on the ground. Just put it on the shelf. If it's good, it'll keep.
Right.
You know, I was wondering, you think Samson was afraid? I love that story of Samson. He killed a bunch of Philistines in his time. He was the number one on the Philistines' most wanted list.
All right.
They wanted him more than we wanted Osama bin Laden back in the day. They wanted Samson. Samson gave his strength to the Lord, but he gave his heart to Delilah. Is that right? Did I say that right? I didn't want to get that turned around. He gave his strength to the Lord. He gave his heart to Delilah. Now, a pretty woman today represents a whole lot of things. It can be a church or just any number of things. And we know that Joseph in the Bible, who was a real man of God, and he went right to the top as far as worldly acclaim and so forth. But he hadn't had the pretty woman test yet. The prettiest woman in this country, spiritually speaking, is the Catholic Church. They have the most beautiful buildings that you can imagine ever want to see. It's a pretty woman. But there's fangs back there in the background, believe me. So, anyway, we know the story of Samson, how he slew lots of Philistines. He fought one group, I think was 1,000, and killed them. Brother Branham said some of them ran up into rocks to hide. And Brother Branham said it like this. Samson yelled at him and he said, "You want some? Come on down." Yeah, he got the prices right on that one. And he cracked their skulls even with helmets on, brass helmets.
Right.
"You want some of this? It's waiting for you." But Samson, he was finally captured, and they poked his eyes out. Of course, his hair had been cut off, so he was in a weakened condition. And they were going to have this big, huge celebration one night. I think I was reading some about it. All the dignitaries, they had invited all the politicians. Yeah, and out on the marquee out front, they had come see Super Sammy, the hero of Israel. Come see Super Sammy, the superstar. And so that was a big attraction for them. But it was a real celebration for the Philistines and the people in that community. And so on, there were thousands of people there. And so after everybody got real good and drunk, they started calling, "Bring out Samson, bring out Samson." So here comes the little boy, I think, led him out there, blind, disheartened. It's just hard to imagine what he must have thought. And they wanted to make fun of him. Of course, they were laughing at him. Little boys going up and kicking him on the shin and running away and stuff. So one little boy came up. Now, I'm really reading between the lines here. But one little boy came up and kicked him on the shins, and Samson grabbed him by the arm, and he said, "Look, little buddy, I am really not holding you responsible for this. I don't believe you're a delinquent, and I'm not mad at you. Your parents are the ones to blame. You got delinquent parents. That's why you're acting like this." And then he said, I'm going to show you some mercy, little fella. And here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to turn your little ball cap around backwards and lace up your little Nikes real tight and look for the nearest exit and run like the wind, grasshopper. And then he said, "You will thank me tomorrow." The Philistines hadn't noticed that Samson's hair was growing back.
Right.
And they didn't notice those big tears that were running down out of those empty sockets that he had.
Right.
He still had the ability to weep before God and ask him for help.
Right.
He still had the ability to do that. And he had the little boy take him to the two pillars. Brother Branham said he still had every muscle cell that he had before, but the blessing was just gone.
Right.
No matter how strong you are, no matter how well-educated you are, no matter how good a preacher you are, or it just doesn't matter. If you're a Billy Graham or just some little guy on the street corner or whatever, if the blessing ain't there, it ain't worth doing. If God took his hand of blessing off of Brother Nathan and the people in this church, this would just be an empty building pretty soon.
Right.
But because God's here,
yes.
Make sure that church isn't the only place that you fellowship with him.
Amen.
It's real easy to be spiritual when you're in church. But we want to show people, you know how your flesh is. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you have. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, that old flesh is still going to be there. It's still going to rear its ugly head. It wants attention. It wants to be seen and it wants to be heard. So don't let church be your only fellowship with God.
Amen.
You know what? You ought to hear me shout sometime. Did I hear somebody chuckle over there? You ought to hear me shout sometime when I'm driving down the street. I don't do it in church, but if you want to shout, you go right ahead. You're not going to scare me, but if you could hear me on the Waterson Expressway sometime when I'm driving around and I have a tape on or something, I just turn it off and I just shout. And what I do if I come up to a red light, I just get my phone out and act like I'm on the phone, see? Because I want people to look at me and say, this guy over here. So I say, Lord, this guy next to me here, he thinks I'm talking to somebody on the phone. And I am. It's a royal telephone. It's never busy. And he seems to like that. I almost felt like I heard him talking through there one day. No, didn't do that. I worship God just as much in my car and just back in the woods behind our house as I do in church.
Amen.
Church isn't the only place we're supposed to be spiritual.
Right.
Hallelujah. Say, I will trust in the Lord and I will not be afraid. Now we must refuse to be afraid when we hear or read a phrase or a quote that we maybe don't quite understand completely. I do that every day. Anytime you're looking into this message, you're going to come across something here and there that you may not understand. Don't throw it out just because you don't understand, because we need our understanding to be enlightened every step of the way. There's a quote that we don't hear very often. It goes like this. It's in Masterpiece, July of 1964. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest Himself.
Right.
So what should be our goal here? For the Word to be manifested. That's what we're here for.
Amen.
And it's fun to worship God. And listen, I enjoy worshiping God. Nobody's going to scare me. I know some people think that I'm an old stick in the mud because I don't climb over the pews. But listen, my heart leaps for joy more than you could ever see.
Right.
I mean that. I was over at Evangel Tabernacle in Louisville years and years ago, and I mentioned this to a friend of mine the other day. He happens to know the guy, but he liked to get demonstrative. And Jerry V. Walker was over there. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. This was years ago, but you know everything got really worked up. And this fellow jumped up on top of the pews, and he walked about eight pews and landed on the floor here. And then he ran up on the platform where Jerry B. Walker was preaching, and he just fell down in front of him. And Jerry B. Walker said, "It's the Lord." And everybody just went crazy. It was fun, but it wasn't really that spiritual. But we can work things up real easy. I can work myself up to do just about anything. But we got to make sure that we don't forget about the still, small voice also.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because the prophet wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the thunder, and he wasn't in the lightning at that one point. But that still, small voice got the attention of the prophet.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong now. I'm not throwing off on anybody or anything, I'm just telling you. I kind of see, you know, where this says the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down into perfection, back to the Word again to manifest Himself. The Holy Ghost, I see it kind of like as a shadow. If you make a shadow on this here, you see my shadow of my hand. But we're at the end of the world. Do you know that? But the way I see that quote right there, we get baptisms after baptism. We get fillings after fillings. And eventually that hand makes contact with the bride. And I believe that's what happened when the invisible union took place. So it's more than just an experience now. I'm telling you, it's more than that. It's a life. And it's a literal life of Jesus Christ. Brother Nathan talked about it this morning. The life that was in that blood comes back on the bride as the token.
Right.
So it's the literal life of Christ. A Baptist can get born again. I think Brother Jack Duff mentioned this when he was here. He said, "Oh, you might get saved without listening to the prophet, but you won't get no rapture like that." See, a Baptist can get washed in the blood of Jesus is the most powerful thing on earth. But it isn't about the chemicals of the blood. It isn't about that. It's about that very life of Christ that's come back into us. The token applied. Praise the Lord. And that doesn't go on the doorpost. It goes on our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the very life of God that's come into us. Because we have to have something more than Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland have, or we're in trouble.
Right. Amen.
We don't have more than that. Brother Branham said, "There shall be a sign, an everlasting sign. God with us, God through us, and God in us."
Amen.
Man and God becomes one. Now that "through us" part sets us above people who just have accepted the Lord and they're Christians. The "through us" means that we are becoming, that we are channels of God, that we're the only vehicle that is bringing the true literal word of God to the world today. We're the only vehicle. God's using His bride. If somebody's going to come into the bride, they're going to come into this. A body is what gets birth, right? So they're going to come to the bride. Praise the Lord. I mean, you can get saved, you can get justification down to Baptist church, but you won't get that token applied till you come into contact with this glorious message. And it's what God's doing in this hour is not for show.
Amen.
Brother Branham said this: the Christian always looks at the unseen. Every redemptive blessing of God is unseen. God doesn't want to put His wife on display. He doesn't want her in the on the front page or on the evening news. He doesn't want to put us on display. He's jealous over us. Kids in school, they're more worried about what somebody thinks about them. You know what? The best part about that should help you some, usually people aren't thinking about you at all. They're thinking about themselves. But the devil will tell you, everybody's looking in class is looking at you. You got the right kind of shoes. Brother Nathan touched on that this morning. Yeah, is that a Nike or is that one of those knockoffs from China or something? See, people, it's horrible what peer pressure can do to people. And it affects us adults, too. We have to keep up with the Joneses. But when we talk about, Brother Branham talked about this being not for show, the flesh doesn't like that. The flesh is always going to be with us, and it's always going to want attention. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. Brother Branham said, see how little you can get. That takes a lot of pressure off, because your flesh is always wants you to be somebody. And your parents, oh, they want you to. Everybody wants to be a doctor. For goodness sakes, sir. I mean, this isn't about money. I'd rather have a little pig farm somewhere and the Holy Ghost in my heart than to be a CEO of some big company. There's another little phrase that I want to add to. Brother Nathan's been bringing out a lot of good stuff about the book of Acts. Well, I want to tell you also what Brother Branham said. We need another Ephesus. Right. He said, in God rich in mercy, we have come to another Ephesians. Now, why do we need an Ephesians? It all goes together. The book of Acts and the book of Ephesians isn't going to conflict with one another. All the Bible fits together perfectly. But I'll tell you why we also need to keep our eye on Ephesians, because it parallels the book of Joshua, Brother Branham said. And the book of Joshua is the place where the people went into the land. See? And what does Joshua mean? Jehovah Savior. See? So Jehovah Savior is the one that took them in the land. And he's the one that has control of his bride now. And he's about to take us in too. Do you believe that? And I believe this is important. I'm going to wrap this up real shortly. Not real, but real. But I believe this is important, because Ephesians is the book that holds Brother Branham's sermon title, But God Rich in Mercy. Don't you just, doesn't that just sound good? But God, I was sunk, but God rich in mercy. I thought I didn't have a chance, but God rich in mercy. I thought I would never find a wife, but God rich in mercy. I thought I'd never find a husband, but God rich in mercy. And you men, if you're not good to your wife, you don't be trying to nuzzle up to the Lord and act all nice and kind. If you're not good to your wife, he ain't going to listen to you till you start acting better. Right. You know, the feminists say, well, the men just want to control us and blah, blah, blah. But because the Bible says that wives should be in subjection to their husbands. Alice told me this about 20 or 30 years ago. She was reading in the Amplified Bible where it says, that verse that says that women should be in subjection to their husband. And she was reading in the Amplified and it says they should be adaptable. Isn't that good? They should be adaptable to their husbands. Now, a wife isn't going to have any problem adapting to a husband that does what the Bible tells him to do. Right. What does it say for him to do right after that? Love his wife like Christ loves the church. Amen. You show me a woman that can't love a man that loves her like that, and she ain't a good woman.
All right.
And I'm look at you men out here, and I see you with your sweethearts, and I believe if somebody came in here with an AK-47 and said, I'm going to shoot you or your wife, what would you do? Go for the heart, buddy. Any one of you would do that. Now, how can a wife not love somebody like that?
Right.
See, so the world doesn't understand the scripture. They just twist it around for their own good.
Right.
Now, I want you to keep in mind that Brother Nathan has done a great job with the book of Acts and so forth. And I want to say this about the book of Ephesians and the Apostle Paul. The book of Acts tells about Paul's experiences and the hardships and the trials and the tests that he went through. And that's a part of the book of Acts that we don't want to have a part of that. But sometimes we'll have some of that. But you know, the Apostle Paul was the only one who ever survived a stoning. And when they would stone somebody, they didn't get little creek pebbles. They would get big rocks. But the man went through it, and I believe that God allowed him to go through what he did to give him the character that he could bring us the book of Ephesians to go hand in hand with the book of Acts. I believe that. Ephesians 1:17 is a major verse of scripture. This is what Paul said to the people. I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, here's the important part. I want this to stick with you. The knowledge of him in the original reads, for the acknowledgement. We need wisdom and we need revelation so that we will be able to acknowledge what he's doing.
All right.
And not misinterpret some event that comes across our path that we don't like or that we did not expect.
Right.
See? Wisdom and revelation so that we can acknowledge him. Now, I believe Brother Nathan does an excellent job of acknowledging the way that the Spirit of the Lord wants him to go and the way that the Lord's leading him to lead the church. If you got a pastor that doesn't have any wisdom and revelation, you ain't got much of a pastor.
Amen.
Wisdom and revelation. So the recognition that it's God behind these things that are happening will keep us from fainting when we're become plagued by fear. God does not want his people to be afraid. Now I am closing in a real little bit this time. Because I remember the last time I ran out the thing on here, and Nathan said, well, just don't run out another one. Well, I kind of went out of bounds a little bit, and I apologize for that. No, I don't apologize, but... Well, we love each other, don't we? It'll keep it. Now, people have wondered why Brother Branham's rapture text is Psalms 27. People have wondered about that before. The Lord was preparing us. When Brother Branham preached that rapture message, the Lord was preparing us for the greatest battle ever fought. And it's the battle that's taking place right now, right here at the end of the world. Satan knows. He knows he's a defeated foe, but he ain't going to give up. He is not going to give up. So Satan's making his final stand against you and against me to keep us from recognizing that this is the bride's final hour. And I believe it's going to be our finest hour.
Amen.
This is the bride's final hour. She is him.
Amen.
Give me 5 minutes and I'm finished, I promise. in Brother Branham's rapture text. This is what he said. You'd have thought he went to Corinthians or something. You know, well, we're going to be caught up and all that. But what did he do? He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
All right.
So what's he telling us? He's telling us at the end time, where we are right now, you're going to have some things to be afraid of. But we don't have to let it get us down, because the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? I might not be very tall, but me and Brother Truman were talking about that this morning. We're not very tall like Brother Ben always. But we stand tall in the Lord. Is that good? I think it is. Amen. So I'm standing on him. I'm standing on the truth of God. And I think I can tell you where we're standing today. We're right at the position where Isaac and Rebekah was when Eliezer took her to him. And he went off the scene, see, just like Brother Branham introduced us to our bridegroom, and he went off the scene. And what Isaac and Rebekah do? Tents of love, honeymoon, happy time. I mean, Brother Branham made this message a romance. I love that. It's not do this because you have to. I mean, how many times did he say, I'm not true to my wife because I'm afraid of what she might do. I'm true to my wife because I love her.
Right.
We're in the tents of love, friends. I'm telling you, that's what this program is about. It's about a love affair between God and us. And we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. If I were to pass away, if the Lord were to take me in about a month, my family would probably want to get this tape and listen to it, because they would say, well, that was his last message. We might want to listen to that again. I've been doing that to some of Brother Branham's messages that he preached like a month or something. Here's one of the things that he said, and then I'm finished. In the last month of his life, he said, "This is the calling forth of the bride." Another message. Another message that was to come just before Sodom was to be burned. It's not another message like it sounds. It's the same message, but it's magnified, like Brother Hoover told us. Remember the math class that he gave us? Did they tell you that he had a math 2 plus 2? Then he said, God can't be multiplied. He has to be magnified.
Right.
So it isn't another message like, I've got a new doctrine, y'all, I'm the 8th messenger or something like that.
Right.
The message has been magnified. And you know what magnifies something? You get closer to it. We're seeing a whole new picture of Christ in these closing moments of time. A whole new picture. It's like a whole new story. Brother Branham said the Bible becomes a whole new book.
Right.
It's not another Bible. It just gets amplified to you and magnified to you. Is that good?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I told you I'm closing, so I'm going to have to go ahead and do it. But I really appreciated that brother, I try to call him David, and I don't know, for some reason I just can't do it. I just keep wanting to say Brother Hoover. Brother David Andes, I've tried to get him to call me Brother Arnie for 30 years. And what does he call me? Okay, Brother Bird. His dad did me the same way, Brother Ken Andes. I said, just call me Arnie. Okay, Brother Bird. I don't know what it is, but that's fine, brother. You call me anything you want to. Just call me your brother. So I love you all tonight. And I want to remind you that I've got one thing here and I'm done. We cannot fail. And I'm going to tell you why. God was having a conversation with Job. with the devil. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect man. And the devil said back to God, well, I'll make him curse you to your face. And God said back to him, four little words, you can't do it. You can't do it. That's what God said, not me or Brother Branham. That's what God said. You can't do it. And then here's what Brother Branham said in response to that little conversation. That's his confidence in a believer.
Let me say to you
once again, let's say it together. I'll trust in the Lord. I will not be afraid. If a thousand fall at my right hand, and a thousand at my left hand, I will be left standing because I'm in Christ. I will trust in the Lord. I will not be afraid. Now you're going to be tested tomorrow. And you remember what we said up here tonight, because it's not me, it's what God's done. Not me, it's just Him. And I want to say thanks to Brother Nathan again for sharing his pulpit. He's generous like that. I really appreciate Brother Nathan and his precious wife and pretty little Ruthie. Now, you little girls, you don't have to worry about the fact you're not the bride. I was thinking about this the other day. And I was thinking, a young girl, she can't think of herself as a bride or a wife. But then I saw a little quote that Brother Branham was talking. He was addressing the bride, and he said, my daughter, my church, my bride. So you young ladies, you don't have to think of yourself as being a wife. Think of yourself as being a daughter. Do you believe your daughter loves you, Ruthie? I mean, do you believe your dad loves you? God loves you 10 times more.
Amen.
What'd you say? Duh. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I love you all. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. Amen. Thank you again, Brother Nathan.
Amen. You appreciate that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together this evening. Amen. I know how he feels. I keep telling Brother Sam Ventura back there to call me Brother Nathan. He'll say, okay, Brother Bryant. So I know how he feels. People say Brother Bryant, and I look around for my dad somewhere. I don't know who they're talking to for sure, but God bless you. He mentioned this song tonight. I thought we'd sing it. Help me sing it tonight.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. But I watching over me when the breeze turns into a gale. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, and he can calm your storm. Sunshine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the height among the peaks. My soul can't be found. Then some old drive me from the heights. Well, it may bring me low, but it won't bring me down.
sing it this way again together tonight.
Sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights. All among the peaks our soul can be fed. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive us from the heights. Oh, it may bring us low, but it'll never bring us down. 'Cause we know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, and I know he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. I know the master.
Oh, why don't we sing it one more time together? Number 229 in your handbook. Help me sing it tonight. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God that's real?
There are some things I may not know. Oh, there are some places I but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, all can go on and leave me alone. But as for me, I want to take God's part.
Yeah.
when Jesus took your sin away. Oh, but since that day, oh, since that very night, my God's been with, oh, and I feel His holy power. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. Oh, He's washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Amen. Oh, there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are on the floor with that power that fell at Pentecost, cleansed and made them clean. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Start the joy bells ringing. It'll keep your soul on flame. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross each and every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Oh, count the cost. then take up your cross and follow him. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your presence. Lord, from the very first chords on the instruments this morning till right now, Lord, your presence has just been so real in the building. Lord, you've spoke to your people. Heavenly Father, we appreciate your word. We appreciate Brother Nathan giving as he did this morning. We appreciate Brother Arnie giving as he has this evening. And Lord, we just pray that your hand of protection would go with them. Lord, your encouraging spirit would go against every mind battle that Satan may try to bring against them. Lord, may they be reminded tomorrow whenever Satan wants to attack that there's a group of people that's praying for them and pulling, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Lord, you've given us food today, Lord. Lord, just as we take in the natural food, we've taken in this spiritual food. And Lord, may it metabolize, Lord, in our spiritual being and give us strength for the journey. Lord, in the days ahead, whenever there's a battle, there's a trial that we're going through, we can look back and we can remember the truths that was presented to us, this food that was laid upon our table tonight, and we can draw strength and sustenance from it. Go with us now, Lord Jesus. We ask your hand of protection upon every family, Lord, as we go to our homes. Watch over us and guide us and lead us and bring us back, Lord, at the appointed time that we can gather together and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit, and we thank you for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Just count the cost, then take up your cross and follow him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross each and every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count the cost, then take up your cross and follow him. Oh, just take up your cross. Each and every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Just count the cost, then take up your cross and follow him.